This is KRA News. I'm Rick Holter. For the first time in 35 years, the venerable Dallas Morning News has an editor who didn't come up through the ranks at the paper. The previous editor, Bob Mong, retires today. His replacement, Mike Wilson, has deep roots in newspapers, but his last job was on a digital operation. Nate Silver's website, 538.com. Mike Wilson, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you for having me.
You were a longtime reporter and editor at the Tampa Bay Times, and as the newspaper industry struggled, you signed on to a startup website. Why turn back to newspapers now?
Well, I got an email from Jim Maroney, the publisher, last fall, asking me if I'd be interested in talking about coming to Dallas. And I was just incredibly excited about the opportunity to lead a news organization. I never lost my love for newspapers and didn't feel that I'd actually left newspapers, but rather had just kind of reached out for a new opportunity in New York and the opportunity to learn about digital. It was an exciting prospect to come back to newspapers and try to apply what I learned in the digital world.
538 is the Nate Silver website on sports and culture and politics that's under the ESPN umbrella. What did you learn there that you're bringing to this job?
I learned a lot about the way the digital audience expects us to talk to them. So the newspaper tradition is it's a one-way conversation where we put something in print and the reader absorbs it, and maybe one or two of them write a letter to the editor. But the online audience expects us to talk to them in a more casual voice. They want the conversation to be ongoing all day, and they want us to respond to their responses. They want to be in a conversation with us, not a top-down, one-way conversation. The other big thing I learned, Rick, was that the internet is always changing. You can't simply set up an organization or a news structure and sit on it for a long time. Mm-hmm. You have to always be responsive to what the audience is interested in.
What do newspapers need to throw out to survive?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I think what we need to throw out are some old notions of what our readers need. I think we just have to be much more responsive to what the audience wants. As I say, I think the tradition in newspapers has been that we have set the agenda and we've told readers what we think they want to know. And I think we need to come down off of that mountain a little bit and ask people, involve people in the conversation a little bit more.
You're searching for a managing editor right now, and the job description does not include the word newspaper. Was that a conscious decision?
It was a conscious decision. I'd like to define the Morning News as a news organization that publishes every day an excellent print edition, but also reaches readers online. And the way I'm talking about it in the newsroom is we meet readers where they are. So we're a newspaper, yes, but we're also a website, and I prefer to just think of us as a news organization.
Are you hearing, but that's the way we've always done things?
So I'm hearing surprisingly less of that than you might think. What I found in 3 months at the news is I have a very, very dedicated staff of people whose real mission is not to put things in print, but to get news to the audience, I don't want to get too sanguine, but to make the world a better place by telling stories and giving people information they need. So actually what I'm hearing is help us get ready to do this far into the future.
You've talked a lot about turning the Morning News into a digital-first operation. How do you change the DNA in a newsroom full of people who came into the business when the newspaper was all that mattered?
I think first you get their buy-in, which I think I have. I think that they want us to be successful digitally. The second is that you train people and teach them to present stories in a way that will work for people who are riding an escalator and reading it on their phone, as opposed to sitting at the breakfast table and turning pages. And then you make sure that you get people in the organization who have the skills you need to move the organization forward digitally. So, you know, we need folks who can be web producers and data analysts and data visualization experts. So we have to get the skills and the practices going in the newsroom to move us forward.
The Morning News has lost hundreds of newsroom jobs over the last 15 or so years. You're left with a staff that's in part very young and in part very experienced. Where does the next generation of leadership come from?
That's one of our real challenges. We have a very, very experienced staff, and one of the things that I'm facing over the next few years is, you know, the likely retirement of some very valued senior people. So that's something I'm thinking about all the time. And we have a tradition of a great internship program where we bring young people in to work for us for a summer, and we always try to keep a couple of them on after the summer, and many of those people are now experienced staffers for us. So there's that avenue. We're also looking for ways to build that roster, particularly of young editors or mid-career editors who can be the assistant city editors, metro editors, managing editors, and editors of the paper years ahead.
As the staff has shrunk, the Morning News has bet big on investigative reporting. Will that be your bet?
Well, I think investigative reporting is the bedrock of what we do. It's what differentiates us. It's the most important work that we can do as a news organization. So yes, it'll be my bet. Investigative reporting, storytelling, local news, local sports, the things that make us, that differentiate us from the competition and make us essential to people.
What about video? The Morning News has done a lot of pushing into video over the last 5 or 10 years.
I think we need to reset our video strategy and focus it a little bit. We think that video can be a useful tool. We know that it can be a great tool for online storytelling. The question is always, of course, how to use that precious resource and when to use it. There was a time in newspapers when we went out and we shot video because we thought people just wanted video, but it turns out they want a specific kind of video that gives specific information, and so we need to be better about that.
Does the large regional newspaper have a future?
If I didn't believe that, then I'd be back at ESPN in New York. I think we have a great future. I think that we offer something of value to the communities we serve that I think they can't do without. We don't have an audience problem. We don't have a journalism problem. We have a business problem. So if we can work through that business problem and sustain our news report, I think we can, you know, serve the community here for another 130 years.
So what do you think the business answer is?
Well, that's really complicated. I mean, now there's excitement about this new Facebook initiative where publishers are starting to allow Facebook to host content. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to be a solution for publishers. We're still talking about whether we'll have involvement in that. But there's a lot of innovation that's happening out there and a lot of ways for us to get our content in front of people.
What surprised you so far about Dallas?
Oh, I'd say one thing is just the warmth of the people. I read recently that Dallas is where the East peters out and Fort Worth is where the West begins. Mm-hmm. And that has been my experience. I find Dallas so far to be very cosmopolitan and diverse and sophisticated with a tinge of sort of wonderful Westernness to it. That I'm only just learning about. I've been surprised at the size of big techs looming over Fair Park.
You tweeted this week that Bob Mong's advice to you was tell him what you like. So what do you like?
I like stories with heart. I like telling people what the government is doing with their money in their name, especially when the people might object. I like surprising people with a delightful take online on the conversation of the day. I love a great photograph that captures a beautiful or surprising or shocking moment. There are so many things that I like about doing this that you probably don't have enough time on the show for me to say them all.
The Morning News did a poll before the city election last weekend, and the kind of overwhelming thing to come out of that was the disengagement of voters. What role do you think your organization has in changing that?
I see us as a leader in the extent to which voters are engaged. When I read that poll and saw how little people seem to know about the Trinity Toll Road issue, even all these years into the discussion, I thought those must not be Morning News readers because we've covered that very, very carefully and thoroughly. So I think our role is to make sure that we get our work in front of people where they are. So reach them better online, make the work more available to them, but also make it more accessible to them. Present it in a way that very busy people with a whole salad of options of news sources to choose from can find it and can use it.
Traditionally in this town, I mean, the competition was the Morning News against the Times Herald way back, then a little bit the Morning News against TV stations and the Star-Telegram. Who do you see your competition now?
I think readers are eating from a buffet of information that's vast. So we find that readers are much less brand loyal than they have ever been. What they want is the information that matters to them when they need it. So if you think of Facebook today as the front page for a lot of people, that's the analogy to the old print front page for many people, that people go to their news feed and they find things that interest them, whether it's from their local feed or from a national feed or from a friend's share. So our competition is the rest of the world, the rest of the internet.
You mentioned the Facebook change, Facebook becoming a publisher. Does that worry you at all?
Well, there are some things about it that are a little worrisome. We don't know much about the underlying technology of what Facebook has going. And we don't have, at this point, much understanding of how and why they would change the algorithm midstream to affect what audience gets what work. So that's something that I think we publishers have to work out with Facebook and maybe other sort of, you know, mega platforms that may come along.
I wonder, are you looking for your Harlem Shake moment at the Morning News?
I have no idea what you're talking about, Rick.
We should do a little background here. When you Google Mike Wilson and Tampa Bay Times, which was the newspaper in Florida that he worked in, a video pops up, a newsroom spoof of that Harlem Shake craze a couple years back. And I believe you're wearing a tie as a headband.
I can neither confirm nor deny this report. There was a day at the Tampa Bay Times when we decided to have a little fun and make a video, and I was the managing editor, and some folks asked me to do it. And I have to say it was probably the best thing I did at the Tampa Bay Times in my 18 years there in terms of giving people a laugh and letting the staff know who I was. So part of the key to this is to not be afraid to look a little dumb. That comes somewhat naturally to me, so I was glad to do it.
You've been in town for a couple of months. What's your favorite thing about life in Dallas?
Oh, my gosh. My wife and I found the Arboretum early on. Things have been hectic for us since we moved here. I've been very busy at work, and so we like to take a Saturday or Sunday walk around the Arboretum, learn a little bit about plants, and just see some beauty. That's been one of my favorite things. And as I say, I also have really enjoyed the warmth of the people. A lot of people have reached out to welcome me. And I've gotten to meet some folks in the community and really enjoyed that.
Mike Wilson, the new editor of the Dallas Morning News, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.